Yeah, you can vote. They've just added a category.
And oh, my God.
If you've got tickets for the Mandy Awards, remember, they've been postponed, but they are going to be rescheduled. Your tickets will still be good. And there are, as Morales said, 12 categories that you can vote in. Go to 710awards.net. What were you going to say, Momo?
I feel kind of bad. Like I feel like I'm stirring the pot. Am I becoming a pot stirrer?
Everybody, the whole idea here is we all got a spoon. Let's all spin the pot.
So here's how I see Alan.
That's basically the station.
I see Alan as this like hardworking guy who pulled himself up by his bootstraps, like went from this sales guy to this host who, I mean, you know,
amazing story.
Yeah, we forget that he was like a sales guy who sold ads for his own show, and he would like call me on Saturdays. Be like, hey, can you call into my show? And I was like, yeah, I'll do that for you, man. And I liked that he showed up all the time and he was hustling and he was working and he just totally made it happen for himself. And he's still that guy. But Mace, I'm feeling like there's a character in popular culture right now that he's on the border. Like he could go one way or the other. And I'm talking about Nate from Ted Lasso.
Oh, right? Not Nate. Nate is a bad guy.
Well, he was. He just turned bad, but it didn't have to go that way. So, like, came up from his bootstraps. He was just the equipment guy.
The equipment
guy,
right?
He was really talented, and he worked hard, and he, you know, ingratiated himself to the team. Then he made some big decisions, and they put him in good spots, and he succeeded in those roles. And then he started reading his own clippings, his own press. He became. Yep. Remember, he was cutting out the newspaper articles.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
he was bagging on the guy that was the equipment guy all year long.
Was mean when he bought his fresh suits.
Because he's going to be the villain in the next season of Ted Lasso. Nate went to coach another team. You think Alan is a villain here at the station?
Well, he's right at that point.
Oh,
where
he's gonna turn.
He's either going to turn or we're going to save him from it. What do you think?
You know what I say? Turn.
Turn? You want him to have a villain turn?
Alan should go. He should break bad.
Ooh, go full heel?
Go full heel.
I mean, so I sense it because, you know, he's gotten a lot of opportunities lately, right? This can make your head swell a bit.
Sure.
You have to do the color commentary.
Christmas Day game.
Yeah, Christmas Day. He's out on the Jumbotron doing the sprinkler or something, whatever that dance is.
Arg. Yeah, he is.
He's at the Rams. He's got posters all over town. They even have a segment called Ask Slee.
Yes.
Do you
it's all
hear,
about him.
Do you hear the ads on the radio? No one covers the Lakers like Alan Sliwa. Do you hear that?
I know. Everybody covers the Lakers around here. I mean, John Ireland is the play-by-play guy. How does he not cover the Lakers better than anybody here?
I mean, it's like we're almost pushing him to the dark side. Like, he's not asking for that. He's not asking for those ads. But
he's the heel. You're right. He's the heel. He's
you know,
Nate.
I think he's going to be Nate, but I think we can see, because Nate said, I turned because Ted, you didn't give me enough attention anymore.
Yep.
Remember that? He blames Ted for it because Ted was focused on his own stuff and Nate was having some issues and I still think Nate would have turned anyway, but you know, this might be a point where you could reach out and help.
Or
you could push, or you can push in the other direction.
Yeah. Or not. Mm. That's a good, Nate from Ted Lasso is a good comparison. Because Nate and Alan have had similar career trajectories.
You know how we're going to know? Huh. If he starts dressing really well. If he goes like a shop and gets like a fancy suit and stuff.
Yep. Then you'll know. That's what Nate did. What a great show that was, huh?
So you're saying
such a good show.
That now we're going to push him so hard, he's going to go full heel, and he's just going to go to the other station and take over there?
Oh, right. He would leave the station and go to the other station and take over.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He's getting pretty big. He's blowing up. So you said, okay, you thought 4 or 5 years ago that I was all over. Do you think I changed? Do you think I became a diva?
Momo, I would argue not really.
Yeah,
I don't think
I changed
you
too much.
I ever became a diva. No.
Yeah, not too much. I had a few diva moments. I'm not proud of. Yeah, there's a few moments, but generally speaking, mm-hmm. I think not with you, Greg.
On the diva scale, I'm lower than I used to be.
Yeah, you are. You are definitely lower than you used to be.
Bert,
and that's all I'm going to say.
You agree with that? Even the first time you produced with us, I think I was more of a diva than I am now.
No, you were for sure back then. I've been trying to argue for the last couple of days that you are not a diva anymore. When you, the guy that you were when I first got here was even not even as bad as you were apparently years before that.
Oh my God, you should have seen the guy I was years before that. You should have seen me 25 years ago. I was, you want to talk about cocky and swagger and demanding.
Wow.
And I'm unrecognizable to who I used
to be. Wow. Would I have liked you back then? Because
no.
I like you now.
No, you would not have liked me.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a real, we can't say it, but I was real the D word. Really. I was.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
So, but I mellowed out. I mellowed out.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times when you're younger, you're trying to prove who you are
yeah.
and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
You know,
I think I mellowed out. I had a kid. Yeah, I had a kid and I just like,
changes
I don't sweat
things.
Stuff. And, yeah, it changes you. You know, because you kind of, I think I was more of a spaz. I was like kind of, I was always running around like crazy and not sleeping and juggling 25
things. Yeah, I remember some middle of the night phone calls with you.
Yeah.
Where you were writing some story and I was like, I don't know. And it was, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. And I was always hopped up on some kind of caffeine or something.
Yeah,
you know?
You're hopped up late at night. You don't
sleep. Late at night, yeah.
You don't sleep very much.
I sleep more now. I mean, I'm telling you, I get so tired at like 8 o'clock at night now. And I'm like, what is happening? This is unacceptable. The other night I went to sleep before midnight, Mace. Before midnight.
Is that uncommon?
I had to tell Nevin. I was like, Nevin, don't get used to this. I don't tell anybody. It's going to ruin my street cred. I'm just really tired. I have to go to bed right now. And he was like, I won't tell anybody. I guess I just told everyone on the radio. But like the truth is, like, this is against my religion. Midnight is like going to sleep before midnight
yeah.
is like Russell Westbrook not being aggressive and going
so
to
So what did you sleep last night? From what time to what time?
Okay, I'll check my Oura ring for you.
Oh, you have a ring that tells
I have
you
a ring,
when
yeah.
you sleep?
Yeah. I'll tell you my sleep data.
I'll tell you mine right off the top of my head.
All right.
I slept from 10 to 10.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
12 hours?
I had a nice 12-hour sleep.
Jealous.
Sleep
All right,
is
so,
so underrated.
I slept from 1:24 until 8:49.
So about 7 hours?
Well, 6.5 because I wake up a lot.
6.5 hours.
Wow. Yeah. And this one, the night I went to bed early, I slept from, let's see. I slept from the night I went to bed 11:54. Oh my God, don't tell anybody. To 8:01.
Oh, 8 hours.
8 hours.
That's pretty good.
But I
Ireland
sleep
sleeps
hours.
Like 2 hours a night.
Yeah, I got like 7 hours because I woke up a lot.
Bergman, what about you? How much do you sleep?
I usually end up in bed somewhere between 9:30 and fall asleep around 11.
Asleep, you fall asleep.
No, no, I fall asleep around 11, then I wake up at like 6. 6:30. So that's a decent.
That's
yeah,
good.
11 to 6.
Laura,
yeah,
are you a sleeper or no?
I haven't gotten sleep today. So yeah, I normally don't sleep because I just work a lot right now. Like 2 hours, 3 hours max.
Oh,
what?
Laura, yeah.
Oh, that's really
hours.
Unhealthy.
That's Ireland-esque. That's
yeah.
rough. That is rough.
We do have the same birthday, so that makes, yeah.
Yeah, but sleep, man, sleep is awesome. I love sleep. The only time I stay up for the Lakers game, like I always make it
yeah.
to the end of the Lakers game. And then I'm conked out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, my personal vice, cannabis, is definitely a huge part of my ability to sleep.
Mm, true.
So nice. A little indica and fade away.
I miss that. I've been doing that.
Miss cannabis?
Like, yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's, for me, it's more that what I used to go to sleep, my ideal, you're gonna think I'm a crazy person.
Yep.
When I was in my like peak work mode, yep. My preferred hours to go to sleep were between 2 and 3 a.m. And I would get up somewhere between 8 and 10 a.m. depending on what I had to get up for, right?
Yeah.
And then I would – so, I mean, I was still trying to get 7 or 8 hours, but I never quite would, right? Because a lot of times I had to get up early and do something. But if I could sleep in, I would sleep till 10. I would go from like 2:30 to like 9:30 or 10 or something.
Right.
Now I'm trying to get to sleep between 12 and 1. That's like my good hours. Because, you know, I'm not going to ever really change.
Yeah.
But I have to. I have to take the kid to school in the morning. I have to get up and do shows.
Oh, yeah. No,
you're
a mom. That's totally
yeah.
different. Yeah. No, that's totally different. My dogs will just slink around and – they don't wake me up and
wow, they don't
good.
Wake you up?
No, they know
good
they
dogs.
Know the routine. They wake Juan up. Juan gets up to feed him. I don't.
Wait, how does Juan get woken up and not you? You sleep through it or something?
I sleep right through it.
Wow.
Right through it. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to get to this Kelly Stafford story. So Kelly Stafford is a podcast. She's told a bunch of interesting stories. I didn't know it existed until this week when I saw clips start floating around. Now, how do you feel about, and again, Matthew Stafford coming up on the biggest game of his career, Monday against Arizona at SoFi Stadium. How do you feel about Kelly being out there telling her story or telling stories on her podcast?
I think I'm okay with it. I think she's got a good head on her shoulders and she's like, knows where to go and where not to go. But it can be dangerous if it's somebody who doesn't.
See, I'll be honest. I listened to her podcast. I loved it. I thought it was great. Yeah. It gave me a little window into Matthew Stafford's world. I guess she had some pissing match with the other station. Kelly is welcome. Bergman, did you reach out to Kelly?
I tried to. We'll see if she responds to me, but I'm probably going to go into her, junk folder. But either way, she also likes to throw pretzels, and you're talking about...
She did
about
throw a pretzel. That is true. Yeah, she threw a pretzel at the first 49ers game, I think.
Yeah, and that is that's a problem. And then going out here and saying things that... I don't know. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of her going on these podcasts and doing all this stuff.
Really?
No. I think it should be about Matthew Stafford at this point and doing stuff right now and possibly causing some kind of stir.
She hasn't. She's had the podcast all season long. She hasn't.
All right, well, I mean, the pretzel. Maybe I'm just thinking about the pretzel.
Well, the pretzel thing is memorable, right? And we don't know exactly what the parameters of the pretzel throwing was, and whether it was a legitimate throw or maybe it slipped out of her hand. Maybe it was like a strip sack.
It just dropped.
Yeah, it could have.
It could have been a strip sack.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in the act of throwing, somebody knocked it out of her hand.
If she's just having a podcast, that's totally fine. Having a podcast, that's great. Good for you. Do your thing. The pretzel stuff, that can stop.
Yeah, well, we're amplifying the pretzel incident. But I personally think everybody should – I hate to use this expression. But just because your spouse is really famous and good at doing something doesn't mean you should be muted.
Agreed.
Kelly shouldn't be on mute. Like, no. I had a fun time listening to that podcast.
Yeah, I also think, like – Nevin's on Twitter, my husband's on Twitter, he's on Instagram, and he says some things and I'm like, oh, you should delete that tweet. That wasn't good, honey. But like, he knows what to tweet and what not to, he knows what to say and what he can't, he knows, like, he hears a lot of the conversations I have at home. And so he probably knows a lot of inside scoop. Okay.
Yeah,
who I'm talking to. And he doesn't out any of that. He knows what he's got to keep private and what can be public. I mean, so I just think, like, if you trust your spouse not to just go too far and reveal a bunch of stuff, it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's great. Kelly's welcome on the show anytime, and apparently you call him Matthew, don't call him Matt.
All right.
That's the one thing I heard.
I like that.
Yeah. All right, don't forget 2:30. Oh, I'm so excited about this. 2:30, my dog, Sophie. Momo's toddler, Daniel. And our chippy little producer, Greg Bergman, are each going to pick straight up the weekend's wild card playoff games. Now, I will tell you this. Daniel has already made all of his picks, right?
Yep.
Bergman, you've already made all your picks, right?
I have.
Sophie, I've decided to hold off on the Rams-Cardinals game.
Oh, wow.
And do it during the show.
Okay.
So I've got a treat in each hand. I get her all ramped up, and then she picks which treat she wants. I'll say Rams are in the right hand, Cardinals in the left hand. Which one are you going to pick? So we'll do that live on the show. But this is because Laura Rutledge, who's a great NFL analyst who does NFL Today and all that stuff for ESPN, she allowed her baby Reese to pick 17 college football bowl games this year, and baby Reese went 14-3, which shows you how random it is, the actual act of picking games are. Just totally random.
Yeah.
So we'll do that at 2:30. Coming up next, Mike Tannenbaum, who's a really good NFL guy, he actually rank orders the quarterbacks in the playoffs according to how effective they're going to be in the postseason, and there are some surprises. I got that coming up for you, too.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, by the way, that was a commercial that I paid for the Culture Pop podcast.
Wow.
Getting the word out, building it up.
Look at that. You're paying for your own ads.
Yeah, yeah. Proud of that show. It's a good show. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I've checked
Culture
it out.
Culture Pop on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Good stuff on there. All right, so we're getting ready for Gigantic Weekend. And by the way, we'll have the picks at 2:30. Sophie, my dog, Daniel, Momo's toddler, and Bergman, our chippy little prince. All will give their picks.
Vote for Jorge.
Vote for Jorge, says Bergman.
Putting the beep on me, you're going to get vote for Jorge.
So Mike Tannenbaum, who is a great NFL guy, has rank ordered for the regular season all the quarterbacks in the league. Where do you think, and this he includes like backups and all that kind of stuff, where do you think Matthew Stafford ranks?
So these are left in the playoffs or total?
Total.
I would say he's about like eighth, ninth.
Damn, he is eighth.
Wow, okay.
You're absolutely right. Here's what he says about Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford joined Tom Brady and Peyton Manning as the only players in NFL history with 40-plus touchdown passes in a single season with multiple teams, but his inconsistency makes him a tough evaluation. I wouldn't be surprised if he leads the Rams to the Super Bowl, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Los Angeles loses Monday night in its wild card game against the Cardinals.
We've
been talking about it. The pressure is squarely on him. I know when we had McVay on, he talked about, and he has thrown 41 touchdown passes, which is a remark. Did throw for the third most yards of any quarterback in the league. So we know it's in there. We know what he's got in him, but can he do it when it matters most? That's what we're going to find out on Monday night. Now, where do you think your boy Derek Carr ranks?
I'm going to guess like 14, 15.
I was counting. 12.
Okay. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, 12. That's pretty good.
Who's right below and above him?
Derek Carr. Russell Wilson is right above him, and Kirk Cousins is right below him. So he's in that sort of category.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's in the Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins category. Matthew Stafford is in the Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray kind of conversation, which is about right. And then top of the field, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady. Who do you think is number four? 4 and 5 are both really interesting.
I would guess like Josh Allen probably up there, huh?
Josh Allen's 6.
Okay.
4 and 5. Bergman,
4 and 5.
Any idea?
I'm trying to think. So it goes Rodgers, Brady,
Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, and then Rogers, somebody Mahomes, is 4, Brady. Somebody is 5. Both interesting.
It is not Josh Allen.
No, Josh Allen is 6.
Dak?
Dak is 7.
Yeah, he can't be 4 or 5.
Number 4,
Kyler?
Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I agree. I do agree.
Yeah, me too.
And number 5, Joe Burrow.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. They got
so he's given a lot of credit to those guys, but I agree with that.
Joe Burrow had a monster year.
Yeah. So did Justin Herbert.
You'll hear, by the way, how Daniel, Sophie, and Greg picked that Raiders-Bengals game at 2:30 today with Laura Rutledge here. Actually, we'll do it with them. Yeah, we'll do it with Laura.
Yeah, I'm curious. Laura Rutledge hosts NFL Live. Really good host. She's got a 2-year-old daughter, Reese. I have a 3-year-old son, Daniel, and you have a, how old is Sophie?
15.
15-year-old dog, Sophie.
She knows her football. She's been around for 15 years.
So, versus a 38-year-old producer.
And we should definitely take Mythical Money bets on who is going to have the better record out of our picks. Once we get done with our picks, you guys should all lay down some Mythical Money on who's going to win.
Didn't Ireland already bet on Sophie Mythical Money?
Yes.
Really?
Ireland bet
on
the
Sophie
exact order.
Without even knowing what Daniel's picks were?
He said, yeah, go for it.
The exact order. He didn't just say Sophie was going to win. He said Sophie, Daniel, Bergman in that order and got 3-1 odds. Mm-hmm.
3-1 odds. Wow.
Yep.
Did you hear the bet that I made for this weekend?
What?
It's ridiculous.
So the odds are 1-4 that there will be no overtime games this weekend.
Okay.
So I have bet $40,000 to win $10,000.
Oh, Mace.
I just need no overtime. I just need no overtime, no overtime, no overtime.
This is how you lose all your money all the time.
That's how I lost all my money last year, was this exact same bet over Thanksgiving weekend. But I'm like, I still believe it's a smart bet, so I'm still doing it.
Okay.
Didn't work once. I'm due for 10 grand, Mythical Money. I'm in. No overtimes this week.
Why do you bet 40,000 to win 10?
Because the odds are 1-4.
Oh.
And he almost lost
never
all of his money.
Never worth it.
No, he almost lost it all. Which game was it, Mace, that you were going to have another overtime bet? Oh, no, it was the tie bet. It was the tie bet for the
Raiders.
The tie bet.
Yeah, Ireland
bet. It was 50-1.
Yeah, so here's, get this one. Norma, get this one. Ireland bet $1,000, Mythical Money, at 50-1 odds that the Raiders and Chargers would tie.
This is a good bet because you get 50-1 odds.
Good bet for him.
Fine, yeah.
He bet $1,000. I was going to pay him $50 if the game ended in a tie.
And it almost did.
It's so close. It came so close.
Why do you risk so much money for so little return?
Well, you know what, Momo? I am in this for the fun.
Okay. It's fun when you lose. I mean,
I'm in this for the fun.
It's almost as bad as Ireland's parlays. Like, they're not winnable bets.
Ireland's parlays are idiotic.
Yeah.
They are idiotic.
I told Nev we should do a parlay with all six of Daniel's picks, and, like, that would just be Where do we even bet? I don't even know how to bet.
If you wanted to make a bet right now, where do you go? There's apps and stuff. Oh, it's not legal in California. You'd have to go over state lines to be able to do it, I think, unless you used like some bookie in Curacao.
Don't they have apps?
Actually, if you know that's actually interesting. If Momo wanted to bet this parlay, how would she do it? Is it a website? Is it an app? Like, where do you do your betting? And is it even legal in California? I'm not sure. 877-710-ESPN.
Asking for illegal gambling advice.
I don't know if it's legal or not. It may or may not be legal. 877-710-ESPN. Can you actually make a bet, a real money bet, when you live in California like Momo wants to do?
It'd be fun.
I don't know why California hasn't legalized gambling yet. I don't know what they're doing up there in Sacramento. What do those people even do? They sit up there, they fight, they argue
with
each other.
All I know is they pay a lot of taxes. We pay the highest taxes here, you know?
We pay a lot of taxes. We should have our gambling legal.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you think they're not? It's so much revenue for the state.
Yeah, it should be. But I think we do have some sort of legal gambling. I mean, I know they have casinos.
My dad used to go to the casino and sit there like a zombie and stare at the slot machine for what seemed like hours. He was a slot zombie.
So I saw an article today that in New Jersey, $10 billion was bet in New Jersey on online gambling.
Wow.
This in the last year.
Yeah, what are we doing
here in
California?
$10 billion.
Yeah, what are we doing? What are we doing? All right, I don't know. Coming up next for you, Laura Rutledge is going to join us. I don't think she'll have any information on illegal gambling here in the state of California.
Yeah.
But we will reveal the picks. Sophie, my dog, Daniel, Momo's toddler, Greg, our producer, coming up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is the Friday before Super Wild Card weekend. Rams don't play till Monday. Whose house? Rams house. Oakland. Listen to me.
It's okay.
Vegas.
We answered Vegas to all versions of the Raiders.
First game tomorrow. Oakland. They'll always be the Oakland Raiders to me.
What are you talking about? They'll always be the Oakland Raiders to you?
Yeah.
They'll always be the L.A. Raiders.
Right.
No.
Where do we live?
Where do they live?
Las Vegas now.
That's a better question. Where do they live?
Where do they live? I don't even know anymore. Like, they're just the Raiders. Like, but
they're
we
mercenaries.
Have all...
They just go yeah. wherever. Yeah, and I've not
well,
been to that
the
stadium.
Name,
have
Raiders.
You been, have you been to that stadium?
No, I haven't been anywhere. I don't go anywhere,
how it compares to SoFi.
I'm sure it's not as cool. SoFi is like the coolest rocket ship in town.
Can't be as cool. Can't be as cool. Do no. we have Laura Rutledge or not? Oh, you are going to call her? Okay, so we'll have her coming up. If you're just tuning
I'm excited
in,
about this.
I am too. Sophie, my dog, using treats. Daniel, just you said team names and he gave him back to you, said the
yeah.
winner. And,
he was very clear. Like, I think he's like Rayman out there. He's just boom, going.
And Bourbon using his little brain. All.
I used a pistachio and a cheese in it. It just depended on which one I wanted.
All picked the weekend's wild card playoff games. And the reason we did this is because Laura Rutledge, who's the star of NFL Today and does all the big NFL programs at ESPN, she and her baby Reese picked 17 college football bowl games this year, and baby Reese went 14-3. Which shows you the randomness of picking games. And we wanted to demonstrate exactly the same thing. So I'll tell you what. While we wait for Laura, and hopefully she does check in. While we wait for Laura, let's start with our actual picks. So
okay.
Describe how Daniel made the pick.
All right. So last night we were watching his rhyme. So mixture of Peppa Pig, Cocoa Melon, and some Blippi. We okay. watch for about 20, 30 minutes before bedtime. That's like his exciting thing that he gets to do. And I just thought, okay, he's relaxed. I'm just going to ask him flat out. And Nevin was sitting right on the couch with me. And I said, Daniel, who do you like, Raiders or Bengals? And he was saying, he go, Raiders. And I said, Daniel.
Raiders. Okay, don't give him.
Who do you like?
Okay, so
Chiefs
wait a minute.
Or Steelers.
Minute.
And he would just say a name.
Hang on. Okay, so Daniel did pick the Raiders to win the first game tomorrow.
He did. He picked the Raiders.
Sophie.
Yeah, I picked the Bengals.
Sophie chose the Bengals treat instead of the Raiders treat. So oh, Sophie's
man.
On
what
the Bengals.
What kind of treats are these? What are these? Are they
they're
meat?
Little mango biscuits is what they're called.
Mango biscuits.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So Bergman.
Wow.
How did you pick it?
I took the Raiders. We got 2-1 here.
Okay, so Sophie's got the Bengals, Bergman's got the Raiders, and Daniel's got the Raiders. Do we have Laura? No, we do not. Okay. Let's go to game number two. This is Bills and Patriots. Bergman, which way did you go?
Bills versus Patriots. I took the Bills and Josh Allen.
Okay. Baby Daniel.
Baby Daniel likes the Patriots.
And Sophie is on the Bills.
All right. Daniel's out on a limb. It's okay.
We are already at a spot where everybody has different picks already.
Yeah, we're all jumbled in there. All right, so this is where Sophie gets adventurous. Eagles, Bucks. Sophie took the Eagles.
Yeah, I love the Eagles. That's so good.
What did Daniel do?
Daniel also took the Eagles.
Oh, expecting an upset. And Bergen, yeah. did you take the plain old obvious team?
I just took the right choice and took the Bucks.
The Bucks. We actually have Laura Rutledge.
Oh, this is exciting.
Right, Laura Rutledge from NFL Today and all of our NFL coverage on ESPN. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Hey, I'm Laura. Great. How are you guys?
Excellent. Excellent. So we have been inspired by your bit where your baby picked the college football bowl games and went 14-3.
Yeah, it's been a whole lot of fun. I actually am scared of my daughter, Reese, who is a little over 2 years old, because at this point, she's way too accurate, and it's starting to freak me out.
You know, Laura, I think that she might just be a natural, and I think that kids kind of, like, cut right to the chase. They just see things in a way that we don't. Like, I had my son do the picks yesterday. We did our NFL picks. And it was amazing. Like, we were doing it during his rhymes, and I would just ask him, who do you like? Do you like the Raiders or the Bengals? And he would just go, Raiders. Who do you like? Eagles or Bucks? Eagles. Like, there was no hesitation. He just went straight for one of them. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like this is my Tiger Mom stuff coming out. Like, maybe my child is a prodigy. We're going to find out once we read all these picks. But how did you feel like a sense of pride? Did you feel like your Reese is special when she did this well at it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny because so she went 14-3 on the season for anybody that's curious. And the interesting thing was, you know, a lot of people said, well, she only picks Alabama, which is not entirely true, but she did seem to gravitate towards red helmets. I think the ultimate indicator was in the SEC championship game between Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah.
When we set out the helmets, you know, I tried to push the Georgia helmet a little closer to her, and I never interfere with the picks. But I thought, you know what, Georgia's going to win this SEC championship game, so let's just go ahead and get it right, and, you know, we'll be on a high note heading into the college football playoffs. Well, sure enough, she walks right past Georgia and picks Alabama.
Wow. All
right, girl, like, it's possible. Maybe you know something I don't know.
So she does.
We stick with, you know, we do that pick. All right. So then, you know, she picked Alabama to beat Cincinnati. That's fine. Cool. Moving on to the national championship. Once again, Georgia and Alabama, two red helmets. And this time I'm like, all right, you know, at this point, like, Alabama is technically an underdog here. We'll just see what she does. I figure she's going to go toward Bama. She picked Georgia. Now, the interesting wrinkle here is that my husband is a diehard Alabama fan who played for Alabama for baseball.
Yeah.
So he said, oh, no, we can't do this. She's got to redo the pick. I said, all right, yeah, let's redo it. Let's see what she does. Doubles down, picks Georgia.
Wow.
All right, I'm not doing it again. She must know something we don't know. So sure enough, she's right again.
That's amazing.
Those two picks to me were the most wild. In fact, you know, she's going to be three next year. So we're like, maybe she's a little old for this. And maybe we got to, like, take it up a notch. Maybe she picks against the spread, or who knows. But either way, like, I said to our producer, I was like, I think I might hang up her picking shoes, because at this point, I'm not sure she's going to do any better than what she did this year. It's been absolutely wild. A whole lot of fun.
So my dog, we're using treats. She's picking the games. Daniel, who's Momo's toddler, is picking the games. And then our producer, Greg, is going to use his expertise, such as it is, to pick the games as well. So we're kind of going through those right now. Let me ask you, what's the game that there's the best chance for an upset this weekend?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think if you look across the board, the most unlikely would be Steelers-Chiefs, right? But for me, I think it's a little less likely than the average bird would say. And a lot of that has to do with the fact, I mean, I just saw the Chiefs actually last Saturday in Denver, and that's a Broncos team that was depleted in so many ways. I mean, it literally didn't even have their secondary, like, their entire secondary is out for the game. It was a big story going in. And the Chiefs did not look good. If it weren't for, like, a last-second scoop and score, it looked like Denver was going to win that game. And Patrick Mahomes, you know, was without Tyreek Hill for a lot of the game. Tyreek Hill had the heel injury, which hampered him a little bit. The Chiefs are going to be without Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Even Darrell Williams is a little bit banged up, who'd be the backup. I just could see this being a game where an inspired Steelers team says, hey, Big Ben, last game potentially, if we don't advance, let's play for him. You got T.J. Watt, who's a freaking sack master. He can get after Patrick Mahomes. It would not shock me. Now, yes, I picked the Chiefs, but if I had to pick an upset this week, I do think the Steelers are one to keep your eye on.
Wow, interesting. So we're the home of the Rams. I'm a huge Rams fan. I'm a Rams season ticket holder. Whose house? Rams house. Gigantic fan. The Cardinals have some injuries that are, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, and I haven't heard on J.J. Watt. I haven't heard on who else? James Conner, their running back. What do you think of that matchup for the Rams Monday night at SoFi Stadium?
Yeah, I do think J.J. Watt is expected to play in this one. He's been back at practice, and I think, if anything, that's more of a almost an emotional boost for them, right? Because he's such a presence. He's such a leader on the defense. But to your point, you know, they're not at full strength. And I think, really, if you're looking at Kyler Murray and what he's going to do against a Rams defense that obviously is stacked, especially the D-line, it's a difficult task. The interesting thing is, if you look at Kyler Murray as he's matched up against the Rams this season, his numbers against zone are so much better. His QBR against zone defense against them is like an 80, and it drops into the 20s against man. So, you know, obviously, when you look at the way that the Rams play defense, they want to play zone a lot more. But you just wonder if maybe they would change up some of their scheme there a little bit, just based on how it's put Kyler Murray in situations where he hasn't been as good. I think AJ Green is huge in this game for the Cardinals. And by the way, I say that's not totally ideal, right? Because it seems like Kyler Murray trusts him in 50-50 ball situations, but obviously you'd like to have DeAndre Hopkins if you're the Cardinals. I'm picking the Rams in this one, and I think the main key, I think it'll be close, but I think the main key is that Matthew Stafford is so good, he just needs to stop getting in his own way. Some of his mistakes, some of his interceptions that we've seen down the stretch of the season have really been self-inflicted. That's avoidable. Just you know, try not to do too much, and finally get this whole thing about how you can't win in the playoffs and win in the postseason off your back.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura Rutledge, our guest, host of NFL Live. You got to tell me about Dan Orlovsky. He's always got Matt's back, right? I know they were teammates, but like, is it just that they're former teammates? Does he really believe in Matt Stafford?
You know what? Dan has a lot of former teammates, right? Because he's a tenured backup quarterback. I don't mean to diminish, because, by the way, it's hard to do that, too. Very tenured in the NFL. I believe a 12-year-plus career. You're going to play for a lot of different teams over that time. I do think he believes in Matthew Stafford. Obviously, there's a personal connection there, but I believe that, you know, he can put that aside. And I think he's looking at it from the standpoint that you would if you're somebody who likes great quarterback play, who can sit there and you know, you almost salivate at times when Matthew Stafford makes some throws that just, I mean, maybe like three people total can make some of these throws, and one of them's Aaron Rodgers, maybe the other is Patrick Mahomes. It's just absolutely unbelievable, some of the arm talent. But, you know, Dan has been, especially on NFL Live, he's come forward and said that, you know, he doesn't think that Stafford is immune to some of the criticism, right? Because he has made some mistakes, and a lot of it has been on him. A lot of it's been forcing things that haven't been there. And he said that this week going into it, you know, don't force things. Marcus Spears actually said this really well yesterday. It feels like Stafford gets a little bit too greedy. And Dan agreed, you know, saying that you don't need that, right? You just sort of focus on getting the ball out to your playmakers. You got Odell Beckham Jr., which I think will be huge in this game in a big way. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's big, but maybe as, you know, another target. So for me, you know, I sort of see Dan's analysis from the standpoint of really looking at it from a football deal. And I think he holds Stafford to it. It's sort of the same standards as the rest of us. There's quarterback bias no matter what, though. You know that.
All right. Hey, listen, Laura, this has been fun. Congratulations to baby Reese on just dominating college football.
That girl to Vegas, man.
And we will see if my dog or Momo's toddler or our producer Greg comes out ahead this weekend picking all the games.
Love it, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks,
Laura.
All right, there's Laura Rutledge. Obviously, a little bit of a delay there, but whatever.
It's all right.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun.
Dude, that was amazing about the Bama and Georgia thing.
Yeah.
That was not random. She knew who she wanted.
She used a word that's interesting. We'll talk about it at the time. Greedy. She used that word greedy, which is, I think, what is interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's real quick go through the rest of the picks.
Okay. All right.
So in the Eagles-Bucks game, Sophie took the Eagles, Daniel took the Eagles, and Greg took the Bucks. Cowboys, okay. 49ers. What did Daniel pick?
Daniel took the 49ers.
Bergman?
I took the 49ers also.
Sophie took the Cowboys.
All right.
Steelers, Chiefs.
Daniel took the Chiefs.
I took the Chiefs.
Sophie took the Steelers.
Ooh, Sophie.
She's out there. And then for Rams, Cardinals, what did Daniel pick?
I'm sorry, but Daniel took the Cardinals.
Boo. Bergman, what did you take?
I took the Rams.
Yes, and we're going to do at 3 o'clock live, Sophie will pick Rams or Cardinals. My God, she better pick Rams.
What if she takes the Cardinals? What will you
do? I will be devastated if she
will you just lie? Will you just lie to us?
No, I will tell the truth.
You'll tell the truth, okay.
If it really happens, I'll say it.
All right. I didn't influence any of mine. I didn't say, hey, Dan, you know you got to take the Raiders, right?
Yeah.
I didn't influence anything. Okay.
All right. We're late. Everybody's yelling to rap.
Jump ball
coming up next for you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Keyshawn.
That's so good.
Dwayne Wade was on the Armchair Expert podcast with Dax Shepard and Monica Padman. He was talking about the GOAT conversation in the NBA and said this: we're not going to be the ones having a conversation about the GOATs. Now it's going to be the younger generation, and they're going to forget about Jordan like we forget about Kareem. Do you agree or disagree with Dwayne Wade?
Totally agree. That's how it is. Just the way it goes. You know, my friend Jackie McMullen said to me, she goes, Ramona, you know, we're all big once, and then all of a sudden you retire and people forget about you. I go, Jackie, people won't forget about you. She goes, they already have.
She's in the Hall of Fame.
You and me, but like somebody who's coming up, who's like 24 right now, they don't even know who she is. Like, same. I had a good run, and like when I'm done, people will just, I'll just be a memory.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird to think about that. Weird to think about it. But you do become just a memory at some point. I mean, for example, when Mason in Ireland leaves. Is finished, is done for whatever reason, and I don't anticipate that's going to happen anytime soon. You wonder, all right, so what?
Yeah.
What now? What will people remember? I mean, I think that you do think about legacy, though. Legacy is, I think, really interesting and important. Jackie McMullen has a legacy.
Yeah.
Mason Ireland will have a legacy. Those things are really good. But I totally think people just fade away. I think you fade away.
I mean,
really
I grew up
will,
in.
Though?
For it'll take longer for him, but like
he's a
brand. Look,
he's a full brand.
People will know him more for his shoes than they will for the, you know. That's why I think The Last Dance was so important, because it, you know, there's a lot of people growing up that didn't grow up watching the Chicago Bulls. It was just Jordan, you know. That's why The Last Dance reintroduced this whole generation to those teams.
Yeah, I mean, John Madden is,
yeah,
you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, kids will still be playing Madden. So he's got a legacy, but Jordan, and you're right, Jordan with Nike is probably a little bit different. But at some point, kids are going to look back and say, it's like Bill Russell, never saw him play. See, that's what I say about Bill Russell. I'm sure he was fantastic, and he obviously won all those championships.
Or Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor,
of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't relate because they didn't play in an era where I was following everything, so I always view what's new and what's next, and I don't necessarily look back. So at some point, I think Jordan will fade. It'll take longer for him.
Kirsten Dunst recently did an interview on W Magazine and talked about her famous upside-down kiss in the Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. It is now one of the most famous kiss scenes probably of all time. Would you call this the greatest kiss in cinema history? And if not, what would it be?
Wait, you're saying the Tobey Maguire kiss? Which one?
Yeah,
Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, where Tobey Maguire is Spider-Man.
Upside down?
Hanging upside down, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty hot. Yeah, that's a good one. I got another one.
What is it?
Oh, Top Gun. Tom Cruise, Kelly McGillis. The bedroom scene. That kiss is pretty hot.
I will go back a little bit more. I think it's early 80s. There's a movie called Body Heat. And Kathleen Turner she was at the peak of her powers.
Yeah.
And William Hurt was the guy. And she's like in the glassed-in patio, and she's like totally like signaling that she wants to get with him. And William Hurt just picks up a lawn chair, throws it through the window, breaks the window, and gives
her
a kiss. Have you never seen that scene? It's like a fantastic scene.
No, that's hot,
scene.
Though. Yeah.
But that would amazing. That would be my vote. That would be my vote.
That's a great scene. All right, Laura, what you got?
All right, guys. So I've actually never been to Hawaii. That's on my goal list.
Whoa. Okay.
I know. Greg talked me out of it earlier last year, but that's
you were going to go for like a day.
No, it wasn't a day. Focus. Anyways, I haven't been, but I was reading that Waikiki Beach, I hope I said that right, could disappear by the end of the century.
Yep.
And it's not the only
one.
I know, because of, you know, global sea levels are rising and all these things are happening. So they may not, it may not be around. Though Hawaii is investing about $10 million to maintain it. But my question is, do you guys really believe that it's going to be gone? Like that we're not going to be able to experience it?
Wow.
This is a big question.
It's heavy.
It's a real thing, by the way. Living in Hawaii, this is absolutely a real thing.
You lived in Hawaii. Describe it.
So, I lived there for 2 years, and they actually bring sand and add sand to it so that it isn't going away. But, yes, it is eroding. It is going away, and it will eventually go away if they don't continue to add sand and push it up.
So sad.
It is sad.
I think they'll just add enough sand to it. I think they'll do whatever they got to do. You know?
It's smaller and smaller every year, though. It is very tiny now.
I think it'll be there. I'm optimistic. I think we'll figure it out, and I think it'll be there. But I'll tell you, Laura, if I was you, right now Hawaii is super, super expensive for whatever reason.
Yeah, it is, really.
Costa Rica is 5 hours away, and you get a very Hawaii kind of experience. I would recommend going to Costa Rica.
Pura vida, I want to go. It's beautiful. Never been, though.
All right, so David Beckham and Victoria Beckham have a great relationship and play around with each other on social media pretty often. Well, the other morning, Posh Spice posted on Instagram the note that David put on her lunch. It said, "Enjoy lunch, blank hole. Come back happier. Lots of love, you know who." Now, how would Juan and Nevin react if you put that note in a lunch with them?
Okay, so tell me the note again. It's...
"Enjoy lunch, blank hole. Come back happier. Lots of love, you know
rough,
who."
Yeah. That's rough.
Hmm.
I mean, they were joking. There was a smiley face in there, if that makes it any better.
If it was me, I would just recognize that my mood was probably crap, and I probably do need to change it. I mean, here's the thing about Juan. He is he keeps me on the rails. So if he says I'm being an ass, I probably am being an ass. So I probably pay attention to the note, and I'm okay getting it.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I would really Nevin and I don't really have that relationship. I think but I did, you know, it was funny. I was cleaning out my garage the last I go it every once in a while. I'd take an hour or two and go in there and deal with a box, right? One of the boxes. And I found a box of old letters and birthday cards and Christmas cards and stuff. And he's usually really good at sending me like really sweet romantic cards. But this one was weird. It was a Christmas card and he had said, "Hey, you still owe me $60 from our Vegas trip, but now you don't. Merry Christmas. Love, Nev." And I was like, "What? that was your card?" Yeah. So I don't know. It doesn't sound like my husband, but I guess it was. It must have been way back early in our relationship.
So there's a new hold on. went down too far. We got another TV show reboot getting a pilot. We may see the return of Scott Bakula and Quantum Leap. It is supposed to take place 30 years after Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap Accelerator. I loved the original show.
Yeah.
Are you guys in on a Quantum Leap reboot if Scott Bakula is in it?
How old is he now?
Yeah.
Old.
Here's the thing. Aren't there any new ideas? Like, didn't somebody roll out of bed one day and say, I have a new idea? Didn't anybody do that? It's like, we're rebooting everything. They're doing Fresh Prince of Bel-Air,
yeah,
but as a drama. It's like, that's not what it's about. I mean, they're just rebooting everything, and it's too much. How about some new ideas, Hollywood people? Do new stuff. You don't have to do your old intellectual property stuff anymore. Stop rebooting everything and come up with some new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know that the show was significant enough to be rebooted either.
Yeah,
it was
okay.
A great show.
What are other ones we could reboot? Northern Exposure. Should we do that one?
Yeah, reboot Northern Exposure.
How about Punky Brewster? You want to reboot Punky
Brewster?
Oh, they've
done
it. That may have been done. Yeah.
What about Full House?
By the way,
they did Fuller House.
See, there
it was a good one, though.
Freddie Prinze Jr. was in the new Punky Brewster.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's right. He was.
Yep.
I mean, look, I thought I was going to be all excited that CSI Vegas came back, and I haven't watched it. There's too many reboots, so it's like the nostalgia is not there. Because, I mean, I didn't even really watch the Friends reunion. I was like,
I never watched the Friends reunion.
Yeah, I saw some clips. I read some things that happened, and I wasn't that interested.
Sounded nice. You know, whatever.
Have you guys seen the Sex and the City one?
Yes, I'm watching it every week. I love it. I love it. I think it's really good.
So good.
No.
Mace, let me tell you what it's about.
Too much estrogen.
It's kind of about cancel culture, don't you think, Laura?
Yeah, I mean, there's that and other stuff, but yes. I can see that. And
it's it's like 50-something-year-old women who used to be cool trying to figure out how to still be cool in a very changed world. Where, okay, like, 100%
out on it, 1,000% out on it, never, ever going to happen. Never. I don't know a lot of men that have ever watched Sex in the City. Maybe they're out there.
What?
No.
John Ireland.
John Ireland. Absolutely.
But Sex in the City is so not a guy show. It's like the opposite of being a guy show.
Yeah, it really is. It's like you might as well go see a double feature with Mamma Mia. You know?
Yeah,
it's
exactly. Like... Mamma Mia. It's the television version equivalent of Mamma Mia.
It was so hot when I was like young, and I was like, ooh, I want to be them.
All right, coming up next.
You got something to read, right?
Oh, but I want to let people know, coming up next, Sophie is going to make the pick of the
Rams-Cardinals
game. And I'm going to try to put it on Instagram Live. So @VeniceMace, MASE, we'll try to do it live.